I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is basically the Sean Block of the show.
Cool.
We talked about your lady, very important to you.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about UFC. I still have some questions about UFC that I'm sure we'll get into between now and the end of the week before we head into Fight Island and that event.
Let me know what you want to know.
In this segment, we are going to talk about optimism for the Kansas City Chiefs and your dogs. Where do you want to start first? Because this 30 minutes is all you. We got the lady talk out of the way. We got the UFC talk out of the way. We got to get your Fesco take about the Chiefs out of the way. And we got your pups. You determine here. It's like a choose your own adventure book here.
Oh, I love those. Haven't read one of those in a while. Those are the best potty material there are. Like back of the toilet. Actually, Guinness Book of World Records, now that I think about it. But that's not what you want to know. Let me tell you my dog story first. Can we do that?
Go ahead.
So speaking of my girl, she decided to have my dogs tested their DNA because we wanted to know exactly what. This is the craziest thing ever.
I did that too. I ended up having a daughter.
What? It's a human being. Oh my goodness.
I did that too.
So, yeah. All right. Well, where did I follow up that? So mine were, I don't know who the mom, the daddy, you know, it's one of those things. But anyway, so we get them tested and all I knew was that they were part St. Bernard, and they look alike, but not completely alike. We got them at the same time. They're the same age. They're brothers. And it turns out that one of them is part St. Bernard, part hound, and the other one is part St. Bernard, part Labrador Retriever. So I thought, hold on. I'm not very smart. I didn't pass science. I don't know a lot about how the birds and the bees work, apparently, with dogs. Did you guys know that the same litter of dogs can have two different fathers? Did you know that?
I had absolutely no clue.
And it didn't sound right to me. 913-576-7610. Did anybody out there know this? Because it sounded so egregious to me when we got the results back that I decided to call my vet because it just didn't sound like it was possible. And the doctor, the vet, confirmed that, yes, so you can have a litter of dogs. She said that actually she's seen a litter of dogs that were fathered by three different dogs. So you want to talk about baby daddies, that's a lot of them. So that's my dog story. I know it sounds absolutely ridiculous, but it's true. The other dog story, if you'll indulge me for a second, is
This is the Sean Block.
I understand. We were at the dog park the other day, and I noticed a rare breed of individual walking around. And no, I didn't see Bigfoot or anything like that. What I saw is the gentleman walking around the dog park without a dog. And let me just say this.
Smart.
No, not smart.
Hero.
Creepy
elite.
As hell.
Elite.
Arrest him on the spot.
Playing okay. Chess. Everyone
no,
else playing checkers.
That is horrible.
Okay, you're creepy for going to the playground with no kids. You're not creepy going to the dog park
no, but
with
you
no
don't,
dog.
You don't have to go to the playground. You can go to another public park that has a track around it. You can go to a high school that has a track around it. You can walk in, you know, a lot of nice neighborhoods. There's a lot of good sightseeing to do in Kansas and Missouri in the local area. I don't understand why you go to the dog park.
He was after a different type of sight, if you know what I'm saying.
Dog.
Yeah, no, this is actually smart. I think you're hating a little bit on this, because I would say right now.
If you're a girl, you think that this is a good way to pick up the ladies?
Absolutely.
The first thing she's going to ask you is, where's your dog?
Let me ask you this, honestly.
It's a dog park. It's half the title.
Let me ask you this. Right now, during these times, if you're trying to meet a new young lady, where would you go? The bar?
I mean, I don't even know. You know
the
me.
Club?
You know me. I'm happy right now. You know
I know, but like, okay.
Oh, back when I was getting first
in
dates.
But I'm saying right now during the corona times, are you going to the club right now to meet
no,
girls? Are you going
no.
to the bar right now to meet
no.
girls? Where are you meeting them at? The grocery store?
No, not the grocery store.
You know where a good place to probably meet them is during these times? The dog park. This might be an untapped resource right now.
You're making a really, really good point.
I try to.
And no masks. The grocery store is going to be masked up. You're going to be
outside.
That's
what I'm saying. You can't pick them up at the grocery store the way you could in 2018.
You guys are making both strong points. You're outside, so you don't necessarily need to wear the mask if you social distance properly. You can still wear the mask if you want to, and it is one of the places that is open. I understand. And I'm not even saying that it isn't a great place to pick up a date or to meet possibly your future bride or husband. It's a great place. I mean, it's dog park. I love dog people. If they have dogs, to me, that's one of the most important parts about going to the dog park, because you're going to look really, really awkward if you're talking to a girl who has a dog, because obviously the way that you're going to pick her up at the dog park is, look at that dog over there. I used to have a dog that looked just like that. Or that's the cutest dog. Or what's the dog's name? Or is it a puppy? That's how the conversation is going to start. And then she's going to reciprocate back, wanting to talk about your dog. Realize that you don't have a dog there, and you're going to look really creepy. But I was thinking when
that's
you,
easy way to finesse it. How? Though. I don't have a dog. I'm thinking about buying one. Like, it's not that hard to finesse this situation.
I'm a weirdo. Can I borrow yours for a couple of days and then I'll bring it back?
You don't
got to
borrow
met.
The dog. Start asking her questions. Take an interest in what she's interested in. Oh, that dog's really nice. Like, I think you're overthinking the scenario here. You're there. You like dogs? Hey, I'm really interested in picking up a dog. What's your dog? Oh, I have this dog. Wow, where'd you get him from? You then start up the conversation. This is actually smart. I'm serious. This is smart.
First of all, and hit us up, 913-576-7610, if you are single on the text line, because I imagine that COVID has been really, really bad. Because what I used to like to do on the weekends was I'd go out and have a couple of pops, and I'd try to meet a lady, and then I'd try it again the next night. And that was kind of life I was living for a long time, I'll admit it. There are a lot of people that just completely went away. Like, when you asked me the question, I was thinking, it's not Tinder. It's not Bumble. You're not looking at pictures of girls and swiping left or right, and then the first time that you meet this girl that you've never seen her face, you guys are both standing 6 feet apart with masks on. I imagine there's not a lot of that happening.
I just would imagine that if you were on Tinder right now looking for people, you're not following the social distancing rules. Like, you're not.
It still exists, does it not? Have they shut it down like TikTok's about to be?
Of course, but I'm just saying is you're not going on Tinder, and then when it's time to meet up with the person, like, ho, 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 we got to sit all this further way apart from each other. Like, no. Think about when you were trying to go on Tinder. What were you trying to do?
You know what I was trying to do.
Okay, so you think the people now on Tinder are like, no, I'm not interested in doing that anymore. Let's wait till there's a vaccine? No, that's not going down.
I think the daytime Tinders are, not the nighttime Tinders, not the 2 a.m.ers. I think the daytime ones are that are maybe looking for an actual date or an evening or relationship. The ones that you're talking about, No, I don't think that probably
I would assume, I don't know this to be a fact. I am not on Tinder, but I would guess now, it's probably the game's probably changed. I don't know.
Yeah, dating's down like 1,200% since COVID hit.
But I would say you meet the young lady on Tinder, and now everybody's more comfortable with FaceTime. Everybody's more comfortable with Zoom. I would imagine a lot of that's happening now.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do is, not to sound too crass here, touch. Like, FaceTime's only so good for so long.
Of course, but you start it off. You start off the conversation on Tuesday. You then Zoom with them on Thursday. Who knows what happens by the weekend?
You would never do this, Carrington. Like, would you really start a relationship with the first date being on Zoom?
You think I would start a relationship during any time with somebody I met on my phone? That would be doing that in normal times. But I'm saying is, if you're the daytime Tinderer that you're talking about, you are looking to be with somebody. You're not looking for the quick hookup. That's the person at 2 a.m. And the person at 2 a.m. on Tinder does not give a damn about wearing a mask or social distancing. They horny. The person that's on there at 1 p.m. that wants to be with somebody, they are 1,000% going on Zoom dates. 1,000%.
Text us if you started a relationship during this quarantine and let us know how that happened. Because once you brought it up, I thought to myself, damn, I don't really know.
This honestly probably is the best time because people are more lonely than they are. People aren't spending as much time with their family. Think about it. How do people get in relationship with people over the internet? How is that any different than now?
This is not the best time. This is the worst time. This is the worst time if your goal is to hook up with somebody, if that's the lifestyle that you live, this is the worst possible time. It's not the best time. Are you crazy?
You got in a relationship during it. You're in a full-on relationship.
I'm a pre-quarantine.
You're in a full, and believe
since
me.
Since January.
And I would imagine you aren't practicing it with her. You think other people are different in this scenario? They're different? They're the same as you.
I'm just saying, it was a good time for me to find a girlfriend because then quarantine happened. We spent a whole hell of a lot of time together.
No, I understand. I'm saying is, but if you didn't do that, you'd be really lonely right now,
yes,
right?
Yes,
you don't think there's a lot of girls who are also really lonely right
yes,
now that want somebody
and not,
to spend with?
Lonely and not willing to let guys like me come over to their place with a mask on. Yes, I think that that's what would go
I'm
on.
I'm just saying is a lot of people...
I've been turned away without a mask on, let alone with a mask
on.
I'm
just saying a lot of people have been quarantined and by themselves for a really long time that if you provide good conversation...
Are you suggesting that the quarantine has been good for sexual relations? Because you're crazy.
Absolutely. I think we'll see that here in 9 months.
Bunch of babies?
What else has there been to do? You ain't watching sports. You ain't going to the movies. You ain't going to the bar. You ain't going to the club. What do you think people are doing? Playing board games all night? Playing Yahtzee?
You're talking about old relationships. You're talking about
both.
People
I think
no,
both are
not
happening.
New relationships.
Okay.
There have not been a lot. I'm sure there have been some.
Okay.
There have not been a lot of new relationships that have budded out of COVID.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I'm just saying.
913-576-7610. If you're
saying,
one of those.
I'm surprised you say that because we know everybody isn't taking this seriously. Like, we know that. It's not like everybody is on the same plan like, yo, I'm not going outside. You think the people that are at Coconuts now when they come back home are like, oh, you know what I can't be doing right now? Meeting strangers out on the internet. No, believe they were just partying and dancing and sweating and smoking hookah with the strangers.
Not the Coconuts
now they ain't
crew.
Kicking it with them?
You're talking about a different crew. I'm not talking about the Coconuts crew. I'm talking about everybody else.
I think the Coconuts crew is way more people than you think.
No, I don't think
I
so.
I think the Coconuts crew is way if let me ask you this. Let's say tomorrow they had a Royals game. Tomorrow and they didn't put any restrictions. Is it selling out? I'm saying is tomorrow
Kaufman,
or opening day.
I understand your point, so I'd say Kaufman, no. I would say Arrowhead, yes. I think they could say Arrowhead, come if you want to. They could say come to Arrowhead, but you can't wear a mask. Like, it's required. You cannot wear a mask. 80,000 people would go that Thursday night game.
If they allowed everybody to be at a Royals game tomorrow, it would be standing room only, hottest ticket since the AFC Championship game if they allowed it tomorrow.
Royals baseball?
People want to go outside. That's all people want to do right now is go outside. That's all they want to do is go outside. Hey, people want to go outside.
Now, Hope Harrison is back, baby.
This whole fight has been about give us our sports back, let us go outside. If they're going to combine both, KU football would sell out tomorrow.
Oh, stop. Cut his mic, Rob.
Okay.
Cut his mic. Go to commercial.
People want
to
be outside right now.
You took it too far.
Okay, my bad.
You took it a little too far.
I just remember when you were saying everybody was jonesing for sports. I'm now agreeing with you. Now I've gone too far.
You brought KU football and sellouts. You took it too far.
Coming up next, we'll play a brand new edition of the Google game. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com app.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, we still have Sean Optimism to get to. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. Before we do that, though, it is time for a brand spanking new edition of the Google game. Rob, hit me. You guys know the rules. The Google game is very simple. It is based off of Family Feud. I go on Google Trends. I get you the top five search results in a certain category. Sean goes first. Rob gets the ability to steal. I'm very happy that Sean is back. We tried to play it with the Sporting Kansas City player last week, and he was terrible at the game. Does everybody understand the rules?
I do.
All right. Sean, you are first up in the game. Two words. Blank star. So you need to fill in the blank. Blank star. All two words. You get three strikes. Sean, you're up first.
How about world star?
Nope.
I don't know why that came to mind.
That was actually number six on the list, narrowly outside the top five. It happens from time to time. Great guess. Blank star. Top five answers on the board. You have one strike. Board is completely open.
How about shooting star?
The mouse got stuck.
What?
Not on the board. Blank star.
I thought that was a lock.
Top five answers on the board. You have two strikes. Got to play it safe here.
Yeah.
This is blank star according to Google Trends. Top five search results.
Superstar?
Not on the board. Not on the board.
Patrick Starr.
This is actually the same as...
Oh, it's Rob's turn now. Don't say Patrick Starr.
This is actually the same as playing it with the Sporting Kansas City player, just with a better connection.
How is Shooting Star not on there?
People don't Google it. Rob, you have all five answers on the board. Two words, blank star.
Patrick Starr.
You're going to take the one that I said?
Yeah, I am.
All right, dog. That's weak.
No!
Good.
No!
You screwed me, Sean.
Good. Oh, okay.
This was real bad. Two words, blank star. Top five answers on the board. Fifth, North Star. Number four, Five Star. Number three, Lone Star. Number two, OnStar, the GPS system. And number one, All-Star. Top five answers were on the board. First time we have had a category where not a single correct answer was given in the game. Bang up job, you guys.
I basically went 0 for 4 because I gave Rob one and he got it wrong also. So, yeah, that was not my shining moment.
I would just say
I was not a shining star.
I would never take...
See? Hey, does that give me any points?
Also,
give me a half a point for
also
that.
Also not on the board. I would never take any suggestion from you in this game. We have more than enough empirical evidence and data to suggest I wouldn't take any of your suggestions. You barely have enough good suggestions for yourself, let alone enough to give them to Rob.
Okay, I understand.
Let's continue on in the game. First name, Frank. These are all athletes. First name, Frank. These are all people in sports or an athlete. Top six answers on the board.
Frank Clark.
Correct. Number four answer on the board is Frank Clark.
How about former Kansas Jayhawk Frank Mason?
No, no, no,
not on the board. Frank Mason, shockingly enough, the last 12 months, not a whole lot of Googles for a G League basketball player.
I mean, I thought that was not going to be there, but the next one that comes to mind is also a basketball player and probably not going to be on the list. Give me Frank Kaminsky, Steve.
Not on the board.
Very Wisconsin state of mind over there.
Top six answers on the board. Sean, you have given five guesses so far and only gotten one correct answer
really
in the game. Today might be the last day we play this because you're terrible at
it. Give me the big hurt. Give me Frank Thomas.
Correct. Number two answer on the board, the big hurt, Frank Thomas. You have one strike, four answers left on the board.
How about Frank Robinson?
Frank Robinson?
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Frank Robinson, not on the board. Fantastic guess. Not on the board. There is one of these.
I really hope
am going to be so mad at you.
I'm gonna I know.
Once
what it is.
I tell you the answer.
I'm excited to say it. Is it Frank Gore?
Yes. That's the one?
Frank Gore. No, that's not it. Frank Gore was the number one answer. Top six Franks in sports.
Frank Gore was number one?
He was the number one most Googled Frank in sports.
We've
the last
talked a lot about
months.
Frank Gore on this show, too.
Top six answers on the board. Frank Wright, who is the coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Mir, who is in UFC.
Mm. Yeah.
Frank Clark was the number four answer. Frank Lampard, who is a soccer coach.
Frank
Mir?
He
is the coach of Chelsea. Up the Chelsea.
Frank Mir made this list?
He made the list.
I mean, he hasn't been a relevant fighter since he fought Brock Lesnar a decade ago.
Well, you named Frank Robinson. Has he been super relevant over the last 12 months?
I would have thought that he was more relevant than Frank Mir, but I guess not.
Okay, all right. Last
give me one more
here.
Shot.
Last one here,
this
Sean.
So
I hope
well.
You can do better
because
you've been terrible at this. Yeah. You've been really bad at this. These are...
You know Steve Harvey doesn't beat down the contestants mentally the way that you do when they don't do well.
The contestants are normally better than you've been,
that's
to
fair.
Be completely fair,
no,
too.
That's fair.
He would be frustrated with how you performed in this game so far today as well. These are entertainers with the last name Williams. Top five answers on the board. These are non-athletes. I'm talking musicians. I'm talking actors. Famous people with the last name Williams. Top five answers on the board. Sean, it is up to you, my friend.
Give me Pharrell Williams.
Nope.
Not on the board.
Hmm. This is great.
Not on the board, Pharrell Williams. Actually, a fantastic guess. I'll give you that.
Not that good, though.
No, it is not on the board.
And this is just last names. Like, William Shatner gets me nothing, right?
Yes, these are people with the last name Williams.
Okay, then give me Montel Williams.
No! No! No!
Montel Williams, not on the board.
I can't say Serena because she's an athlete.
She is an athlete. She would not classify on this.
All right. Give me Barry Williams.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Can you help me understand one thing?
We want to know.
You went through two categories and did not get a correct answer categories.
I've always been more of a Jeopardy guy or... Even a Price is Right guy.
It just might be time. I mean, the summer's about halfway over. We got to start getting new people to play this.
This ain't my thing.
Because you're bad at it.
Yeah, I'm bad.
I mean, this isn't even like normal Family Feud. This is just famous people with the last name Williams.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You've made a list about three of the people on this thing.
Give Rob his guess.
Go ahead, Rob.
Robin Williams?
Yes.
Number one answer on the board.
Was Wendy Williams also on the list?
Number four answer on the board.
Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones?
Not on the board, actually.
Who are the other Williams?
Top five answers on the board. Cat Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Wendy Williams. Michelle Williams. She was in a very popular group called?
She was in Destiny's Child.
She was in Destiny's Child. And... Hank Williams Jr. Also on the list were the number two answers. I'm here to tell you guys, I don't know if we're playing this game again. I would certainly like playing the game. I enjoy playing the game. I don't know if Sean enjoys playing the game. I'm starting to think that he purposely tanks the game.
Oh, no, that wasn't lack of effort. That was just complete and total honest stupidity.
I'm starting to think that you tanked.
It's better looking.
Yeah,
it's a better look.
I'm starting to think that you're tanking these games on purpose.
No, I tried as hard as I possibly could. That's what makes it so pathetic.
If you and the Sporting Kansas City player, it'd be like a real soccer game. 0-0. That's what it would be. If you and who was the guy, Frank Shallowy, last week? We got to bring
Daniel Shallowy.
Daniel.
He must have been great, Mr. Shallowy.
He was just as bad in this game
All
as
right.
you were.
I apologize.
Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Sean, one thing I love about you is your eternal optimism about the Kansas City Chiefs. You don't get to be the sports machine without having a great passion and love for the game. So today you came in, you were really excited and said, you know what, I want to talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I'm always down to talk some Kansas City Chiefs. I wonder if Darwin Thompson's starting to feel a little bit left out, because last year, Darwin was your guy. Week three, week four of the NFL season. You weren't worried about Travis Kelce. You weren't worried about Tyreek Hill. You were batting your lashes at that sixth-round draft pick out of Utah State. And you were just saying, give him a chance. Give him a chance. And now the Chiefs, it would appear that they have somewhat moved on from Darwin Thompson with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And you know what, Sean? When you dive, you don't just dip your toe in the water. You don't just jump into the three-foot pool. No, you've gone Olympic style into the deep end in optimism for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You're taking him to win Rookie of the Year.
Darwin who? Who's this guy you speak of?
I know. I'm telling you, man. Back then, they didn't want you. You're not hot. Now you're not on them.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wasn't worried about Travis Kelce because I knew that he would have around 10 touchdowns and 1,200 yards. And I wasn't worried about Tyreek Hill because that's what he does in his sleep. I was worried about Damian Williams and Darrell Williams and LeSean McCoy and beginning of the year, preseason, I should say, Carlos Hyde and all the 13 different guys got a carry for the ball last year for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they never came up with a great option at running back. They came up with the best option at running back and the guy that probably should have been the Super Bowl MVP, and that was Damian Williams. But the truth is, you take away his two really long runs, then he averaged 2.8 yards per carry last season. So that's what I was worried about, is the position. And I think that they got Clyde Edwards-Helaire essentially to become a feature back, really the first feature back that this team has had since maybe Jamal Charles. It feels like guys have been splitting carries. Now, I know that Kareem Hunt was for a season, but that wasn't really the plan. Going into it this year, I think the plan is Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be the feature back. And as much as I like him, because the Chiefs could have got Jonathan Taylor. The Chiefs could have got DeAndre Swift. The Chiefs could have got any running back they wanted with their pick in the first round, and they took this guy off the board from LSU. So there's a reason why they got him. The Chiefs believe that he fits the system, and he's never going to face a stack box because of the guys that you talked about. You got to double team Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and at times Sammy Watkins, and all these other dudes, Mecole Hardman. You got to spy on Patrick Mahomes. How are you going to stop the running back? So just because of the situation that he's in, I'm telling you right now, 10 touchdowns, 1,000 yards, and as a rookie, that'll get you the award.
I just don't know if there's going to be enough of the pie to go around here. So let's say that Mahomes throws for 4,500 yards.
Mm-hmm.
It's a safe number here, right?
Yeah.
Safe number here.
We'll go with that.
Kelce's got to get his. Hill's got to get his.
Right.
I think Hardman's going to have a slightly better year.
Yeah.
I would say that Sammy Watkins is going to have a better year this year. And I think now Edwards-Helaire is going to have an involvement in the passing game that they didn't have last year. Like, you take what LeSean McCoy did through the air. I think you're going to get more from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I just don't know if there's enough pie for Edwards-Helaire to have that monster season that you're talking about to win the award. So the last three non-quarterbacks to win Rookie of the Year were Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, and Todd Gurley. I just don't think he's going to be a focal point of the offense enough and be used enough where he's there. I could see him getting like 170 carries this year, having 800 yards, but giving you 300 out of the backfield, so he has 1,100 total yards this year. But I just don't know if that's going to be enough to win the award.
What you're talking about, though, in general, is passing yards. So if you want to make this argument for Mecole Hardman, who you know I like also, and say he's not going to have the 800 or 900 yards that I'm predicting, he's just going to have 500 or 600 because there's not enough of the pie to go around, cool, I get that. Who's going to take the pie when it comes to the running back? I don't think Damian Williams is going to get that much of an opportunity.
Yeah, I don't know why you think that, because the last time that we saw that second half of the season, once he got healthy, Damian Williams got good. He struggled the early part of last season. There's no denying that. But now we think the guy who could have arguably won Super Bowl MVP, we think now he's not going to be a focal point in the offense. And
if
I'm not
the Chiefs
saying
had that kind of faith in him, then why would they spend their first-round draft pick on a running back?
I think they got a good 1A, and now they got a good 1B. Like, we think we go from last year Damian being that guy, and now Damian Williams gets 25 carries this year.
Like, no, he'll get more than that.
Yeah, I think he's going to get like 100. I think he's going to get like 100 carries this year. That's a significant amount of usage and carries for a guy. So it's not that I don't think Edwards-Helaire is going to have a good season. I'll bank on him having a good season because I think the system is right and there's so many weapons. Inevitably, you just can't stop everybody. I think Damian's going to be a way bigger help than you're giving him credit. Like, I can see the Chiefs doing something similar to what Baltimore does. Now, obviously, Chiefs are going to throw the ball more than Baltimore does. But you have Mark Ingram, and then you have another running back there to kind of balance it out a little bit. I could see them doing something similar.
You're the one that always tells me about Kareem Hunt, and that he was a product of the Chiefs system, that he's pretty much an average running back that was in a perfect situation, and that's why he won the rushing title as a rookie.
He went with Alex Smith, though.
Well, now it's even easier. I mean, now that you got Patrick Mahomes, shouldn't it make it even easier for a rookie running back? He's got all the same things that that guy had.
But I would say with Mahomes, though, they're going to throw the ball a lot more. I just don't think the opportunities are going to be there for him to have that monster year this year. I'm not saying it's not going to be down the line, but even now, if we made a list of where he is in the offensive priority, he's not in the top three. Hill's ahead of him. Kelce's ahead of him. I still think Sammy Watkins is ahead of him.
Yeah, that's not a concern of mine. I think that he's going to get a ton of carries.
I think
he's going to get more carries probably than any Chiefs running back has since the aforementioned Kareem Hunt did his rookie season. Like, it's been a long time since, at least in my opinion, the Chiefs have had what they view as a frontline feature running back. Now, it's not going to be Ezekiel Elliott where he takes every single carry. Damian Williams, I agree with you. He's going to get his, but it's also not going to be like Jamal and Thomas Jones where they're actually splitting carries. I would say it's going to be 70. I'm just throwing numbers out. 75% of the carries, in my opinion, go to the rookie. 25% go to Damian.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be that high of a usage. I could see it maybe being like 55 go to Edwards-Helaire.
That's a true split.
35 go to Damian Williams, and then the other carries just go to other guys on the team. Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to get some carries next year. Darwin's going to be involved in the offense. DeAndre Washington's going to be involved in the offense.
See, I think last year they got sick of trying to find that guy. I think in the preseason they went, let's go out there and get a vet, and they got Carlos Hyde. Then they cut him. Then they got LeSean McCoy, and then he eventually rode the bench. Then Damian Williams got hurt. Then Darryl got hurt. Then my guy Darwin got an opportunity. The sausage carried a couple of times. I think they're sick of that, and I think that's why they decided, you know what? We're going to spend a premium draft pick on a premium position, and they went out and got a running back, not for him to split carries, not for him to ride the bench, not for him to learn behind Damian Williams, but for him to hit the ground running, and I think he's going to from day one. By the way, when it comes to betting, we always talk about value bets, so his odds, are 10-1. Joe Burrow is the favorite, no surprise there, the Bengals quarterback, so he's plus 200. Then you got DeAndre Swift. There's a big drop-off. Joe Burrow is the heavy favorite at plus 200, and then it's DeAndre Swift, Tua, Jonathan Taylor, and the guy we're talking about, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, basically all 10-1. So it's basically a value bet.
Yeah, I also don't know if Edwards-Helaire is maybe big enough to use him in the way that you're talking about. Like, the way that he's built and how small he is, 5'7", 200 pounds. Is that a guy that you want to give the ball to 200, 225 times? Like, I would probably, if I'm the Chiefs, if they come to me, I'm telling them to use him how the Saints use Alvin Kamara. Like, I think the Saints use Alvin Kamara about as perfectly as you can use a player. They give him the ball 160 out of the backfield. They throw it to him 50, 60 times out of the backfield, and that's how they divvy it up. That's how I would tell them to use him. Just based on his size and all the weapons that they have, that makes a lot of sense to me. So Austin Eckler last year, he got 132 carries, and then they threw it to him out of the backfield. That's how I would use Edwards-Helaire this year.
The problem is, if he's on the field and they're not giving him the ball, then that means he becomes a pass blocker. And that's my biggest concern with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Remember, we brought on his position coach, Kevin Falk, the LSU running back coach, and we asked him, is this guy NFL ready? And even his coach, who has every reason in the world to say, yeah, he's a perfect NFL player, said, yeah, he's great at this and great at that, and he hits the holes. But he can use a little bit of work when it comes to NFL pass blocking and pass blocking scheme. So that, to me, is actually a bigger concern than even if he gets 200 carries and stays healthy. Is he going to keep Patrick Mahomes healthy when he has to block for him?
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. This audio is courtesy of ESPN's Get Up. Yet another person will take Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes.
That if I gave you all first pick, everyone would take Patrick Mahomes to start a team. Is that right?
One vote.
No, Greeny, I'm not going with Pat Mahomes. I'm going with my guy, Lamar. Because look, listen to this now. 22 years old last year, he led the NFL in touchdown passes, led the NFL in yards per carry as a quarterback. Like, think about that. When you're leading the NFL in yards per carry, and you're able to rush for over 1,200 yards at the quarterback position, you're 22 years old. What is your upside? I think Lamar's upside is absolutely huge. He's going to continue to grow in the NFL. He's going to learn. He's going to understand when to avoid all those big hits that he took last year. And look, we learned one thing last year. Number one, he's a big playmaker. Number two, he's durable.
So I want to just pin you down here and make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. I have almost every analyst I have on this show this week suggesting they think Patrick Mahomes is trending towards being the greatest quarterback of all time, and you're telling me you would start a team with Lamar Jackson ahead of him. I'm just confirming.
Yes, I'm going with Lamar. I think that he'd be my franchise quarterback.
I know that everybody is entitled to their own opinion.
Was that Colin Cowherd or was that Lamar Jackson's cousin?
No, that was Rob Ninkovich. Mm. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. And I always think in these situations now, people like me are made to turn against Lamar Jackson. But this is a ridiculous stance. And the fact that we spend any amount of time debating this is a waste of everybody's time. There's nothing wrong with being the second best quarterback in the NFL. That's what Lamar maybe is. There's even a debate on if he's the second best quarterback in the NFL, even though he won NFL MVP.
Absolutely.
There's a debate. Like, if we did right now, what quarterback for this upcoming season would you rather have? Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson? It would be a legitimate debate on which quarterback you'd rather have.
I'd take Russell Wilson.
Like, but I'm saying it'd be a legitimate debate. If somebody took the other side, I wouldn't fault them for taking it.
Yeah.
I would fault you for taking the other side of this argument because it's dumb. There's no other way to put it. It's dumb. If you would take Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes, that's dumb. That's a dumb opinion. There's no other way to put it. There's no other way to put it. I don't think we had these conversations when Jordan was in the league. Like, there were other great players. Karl Malone was a great player. Barkley was a great player. There's no argument to take another player over Jordan. Now, I'm not calling Patrick Mahomes Jordan, but based on how he's played so far in these first two seasons as a starter in the NFL, it's kind of like the Jordan argument. This is dumb. This is very dumb.
Yeah, and I don't even know if Rob Ninkovich truly believes this. What evidence does he have? Like, he didn't really give a good reason why he would take Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes. And I feel like anybody that does, it's always a stretch, because my main reason would be this. Like, if you maybe break it down, I think Pat has a better arm. I think that Pat is probably a little bit more mentally advanced when it comes to football. Like, the game is a little bit slower for him. I think that he's more accurate. I think that Pat can get outside the pocket just as good as Lamar. And I'm not talking about running down the field, but when it comes to escaping the pass rush, like, there's every bit. One of them's 4-1 in the playoffs and has a Super Bowl ring. The other guy's 0-2 and hasn't won a playoff game. There are a million reasons why, but the main reason why that I would take Pat over Lamar and just end the conversation there is the style that they play. I mean, one of these guys is not only the MVP because of the way that he played quarterback last year, but if he was just a running back in Lamar Jackson, he'd be the best in the league. That means that he gets hit a lot. So even if he learns from Robert Griffin and some other guys and decides not to get hit as much, he's still going to get hit significantly more than Patrick Mahomes. And you always talk about CDOT. The NFL rate of injury is 100%. And the way that these guys get injured most of the time is from contact. And this guy takes a whole hell of a lot more contact. Like, if we broke it down, if we got the spot track, how many times hands last year were put on Patrick Mahomes versus how many times hands were put on Lamar Jackson, it's probably five times as many for Lamar. So just the style alone is why not only would I not take Lamar second, I wouldn't take him third or fourth or fifth.
Like, I think you're kind of ridiculous.
No. I'm starting to take guys like Dak Prescott for 1 year. I might still take a guy at the, like, I might
when
be interested
on this
in a Deshaun
wagon?
Watson
when
and Aaron Rodgers. I just don't, long term, I'm not interested in Lamar Jackson. Maybe we can look back at this conversation 5 or 6 years and say, no, he's still the best in the league. I think it's more likely that he gets hurt, tread comes off the tires, and that he doesn't even play for Baltimore 5 or 6 years from now, but we'll see.
Text line 913-576-7610. You know how I am about phone calls. But if this gentleman wants to call, I'm happy to have him call the show. I don't know why you guys even play stuff like this. You guys are so anti any other quarterback besides Mahomes that you won't even open your mind to it. Lamar Jackson started as a true rookie. If this gentleman calls up, we will take his phone call. I mean this with all seriousness. You just said a whole bunch of words there. I mean that with no disrespect. The real answer is Patrick Mahomes is better than Lamar Jackson. And it's obvious to anybody that watches these games. It's obvious. Now, we can get into deeper on why he's better than he is, but this one just seems very clear to me, where there's not really much of a debate here. That's it. There's no argument to take Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes based on what we've seen. There isn't. Not one single argument to do so. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. And sometimes you can't really tell people that their opinion is wrong. Like, if I think that Shawshank Redemption is the best movie of all time and you think Forrest Gump's the best movie, neither of us have a wrong opinion. This is what we like. If your opinion is that you rather have Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes, you are wrong.
Well, yeah, if you think that Mike Jacobs was a better baseball player than Mike Trout is, then I hate to tell you.
I don't want to disrespect Lamar and put him in that Mike Jacobs category, but I get what you're trying to say.
I'm just saying, sometimes you can look at two different things and you can tell one of them is better than the other.
Answer this phone call if this is this person, because I want to hear their answer.
And that is,
and I know I'm not being called anti any other quarterback in the NFL. I try to tell you guys are better than they are all the time. I'm the one that I like too many guys in the league.
Yeah, and I like one, and his name is Patrick Mahomes, and he's a quarterback of the Chiefs.
I'm just trying to figure out when you switched up on Dak, because when I was arguing to pay Dak, you didn't want to pay Dak. Now he's the third best QB in the league?
I did my research. I looked at the numbers. You were right.
When did this happen?
Look, you're wrong like 88% of the time, which means you're right 12%.
I'm trying to figure out
when this happened. This is part of the 12%. You were right. Dak Prescott is better than I gave him credit for. Is he in the same?
This is him? All right, let's take it.
All right, go ahead.
What's his name? Ed, you called into the drive. Please tell us why Lamar Jackson's better than Patrick Mahomes. You can have all the time you need.
Okay, so I'm not saying Lamar Jackson is better than Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying that he isn't, okay? But at the same time, you guys have to be realistic on the pedestal that you put Patrick Mahomes on. Patrick Mahomes probably has one of the best offensive minds that the game has ever seen. He came in and he sat as a rookie behind a very good quarterback, okay? Lamar Jackson hasn't had that. Don't get it confused, because Lamar Jackson almost won that game against the Chiefs.
Well, they lost.
But they lost, I get that, but the game is played on two sides of the ball.
That's 100%.
Let him go. Go ahead, Ed.
Okay, game is played on two sides of the ball, and there's also players. Multiple players on both sides of the ball before we start claiming that this one person did something for the team. So while I love Patrick Mahomes, at the same time, I got to be realistic. Okay, Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott had a horrible coach. I'm glad he's gone. Okay? Deshaun Watson has a horrible coach. Can you imagine what kind of offense Andy Reid would be running if he had Deshaun Watson in Kansas City?
No, Ed, all that's fair. But Ed, let me pin you down and ask you a question. If you could have any quarterback on your team in the NFL, what quarterback would you pick?
Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Did you hang up on Ed?
Yeah, because that's stupid.
Did you hang up on Ed?
That's stupid.
First of all.
You know that's stupid.
Why'd you hang up on Ed?
I love Russell. That's stupid.
I had a lot of questions to ask Ed.
I have no other questions.
I had
that was stupid.
All right.
He had to think about a lie. He then told a lie. Good day.
First of all, he told several lies.
He lied.
Like he said that Pack got a chance to sit behind a veteran quarterback. Did I miss something? Didn't Lamar Jackson get a chance to sit behind a quarterback that once won the Super Bowl that was a veteran named Joe Flacco? Did that not happen? And then he talked about playing with an offensive genius, a head coach. John Harbaugh is probably one of the more underrated offensive minds in the league, and he's already got a Super Bowl ring before Andy Reid did. So the problem is his evidence, like Exhibit A and Exhibit B, were factually incorrect. And then at the end there, you could tell, like, if you truly think that somebody is the best at something, like if you ask me, Sean, who do you think is the best blank of all time? It's not going to take me very long to come up with an answer unless you're lying. And you asked him who the best quarterback in the league is, who he would take. He knows damn well that he wants to say Patrick Mahomes.
I just hate when we play the situation game.
You hung up on Ed, though.
Well, Ed told a lie, and yeah, I'm not about spreading falsehoods to our audience. Ed. I thought we were against fake news here. Why would I want to now help spread fake news on this radio show? I'm trying to be against it.
Thanks for the call, Ed.
I hate playing the situation game. Pat is the situation. Can we see that? I'm not saying Andy Reid isn't great. Andy Reid is certainly great. Pat would win Super Bowls with other coaches. We don't think that Pat could win a Super Bowl with Kyle Shanahan. He couldn't win one with Sean Payton.
I don't know if he could if he was in Deshaun Watson's situation with Bill O'Brien. That guy's trash.
If a Patrick Mahomes-led team was up 24-0, their team wouldn't lose.
Not if Patrick Mahomes wasn't on their side. You're right about that. I think the reason Pat is this good this quick is because of Andy.
Yeah, but Pat, okay, sure. Then what? He signed a 12-year deal to play with this team. I don't now want to play the game of, well, if he was on. He don't play for the Dolphins. He plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. He plays with Andy Reid. I can only evaluate the information that we have. It's all I can evaluate. You're right. If he was on this team, he'd be worse. But he doesn't play for that team. He plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. I love Russell. What does Russell do better in the NFL than Patrick Mahomes? What does he do? Is his arm better?
Why are you looking at me? I'm not Ed.
Is he more athletic? I'm asking honestly. What does he do better?
I thought this was rhetorical. You want to answer for me?
The answer's nothing.
He's a better runner. I would say he's a better runner. That zone read, he's marginally better. That's the only thing.
Okay. I think there are a bunch of quarterbacks.
I think it's debatable, but it's fair.
I think there are a few quarterbacks, if you want one skill set like Rob just gave you, that you could say that does something better than. I think that you
like
could
what?
Argue.
I'm serious. Like what?
I think that Lamar Jackson runs better than Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I think that you could argue.
Is there any better thrower of the football in the NFL?
I would say that Aaron Rodgers protects the football better than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, look at his touchdown to interception ratio. It's absolutely ridiculous the last couple of years. Again, if you want the complete player, then the answer has to be Patrick Mahomes. If you just want it, like, I think that Drew Brees breaks down a defense better than Patrick Mahomes. There are certain things that I would
take. I feel like we say things like that. We can't, like, break. What does break down a defense mean? What is he breaking down a clubhouse? What? Have we not seen Patrick Mahomes break down defense? Like, what does that even mean?
Of course we have. Let's see him do it for the next 15 years at this same pace, and then we can look at the same number and compare him to Drew Brees.
Okay, well, I'm just...
Some things take time.
You got him winning 9 Super Bowls. Now it takes time?
Yeah, the skill set takes time. The accolades do, too.
If Pat doesn't get any better...
You keep saying, you got to win all these Super Bowls. He's played 2 years, right? And you could argue he should have won 2 Super Bowls.
I'm not talking about their career. I'm talking about watching the player. If Pat never improves, let's say that right now Pat says, I'm done working out. Let's say he turns into Booby Miles and says, this is God-given. I'm done working out. And he is this quarterback, the same quarterback, for the next 12 years. He is a top 5 quarterback all time. If he never improves, all of this whole stuff is based on if Pat gets better. If he just continues to be this person, if he is consistently for the next 12 years, a guy who throws for 4,000 yards and 30 or more touchdowns every year and wins a Super Bowl once every 3-4 years, which certainly seems possible, he is a top, if he doesn't improve, What are we talking about?
Well, the league would catch up with him at some point.
I don't think the league will ever catch up to Patrick Mahomes.
If he doesn't improve, the league eventually catches up with 99.9% of players that have ever played any sport.
I think past the 1%.
Maybe. We'll see. Again, that's one of those things that just comes with time. And luckily, just to kind of bring this conversation to a close and all the way back around, we're not talking about Pat in his prime. We're talking about seeing Pat. We're 2 years into this thing, and he's 24 years old. Most of the time, NFL quarterbacks hit their stride when they're 29, 30, 31. Even at that time, based on the contract Pat signed a couple of days ago, he'll still be the Chiefs quarterback for another 4 or 5 years after that. So what it comes down to is anybody that doesn't take Patrick Mahomes when they're asked this question, what quarterback would you take to start your franchise, is what we call an idiot.
Someone on the text line says CDOT is being silly today. Now I'm too high on Patrick Mahomes. Now I'm on the other side. I think there's some athletes that who they are, like, let's say like Mike Trout. We saw Mike Trout very early on. If he didn't improve, he'd still be a top 10 baseball player. Like, that's what I think Mahomes is. I think he's Ken Griffey Jr.
But it's just not every year. Like, look at Miguel Cabrera. For 5 years, he was one of the best hitters of all time, and now the guy hits like 214 and can barely get to first base. Sometimes you get old, and I'm not saying that's going to happen to Patrick Mahomes, because luckily in the NFL, look at some of the best quarterbacks in the league. Look at Tom Brady. He was the MVP and won the Super Bowl just a couple of years ago. Drew Brees always has his team in contention to go to a championship game. Phillip Rivers just got $30 million. Ben Roethlisberger threw 50 touchdowns, or 5,000 yards, thank you, just a couple of seasons ago. So, yeah, I mean, if Pat plays until he's 36, 37, 40 years old like the rest of these guys, he's literally going to have every single passing record in the history of the NFL.
You're right. The league caught up to Miguel Cabrera at 34 years old. Before that, he led the major league in hitting in 4 or 5 seasons. And the 1 year that he didn't, he hit 333 and 52 doubles over the age of 30. Yes, at some point it will end. It is not ending anytime soon for Patrick Mahomes. You're listening to The Drive here on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com app. Keep it locked in.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.